It's now official, a hard push to limit the spread of coronavirus in the U.S., but is it too late?
And the latest travel ban has passengers scrambling.
You're like living by the hour, like by the minute.
I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, and this is Up First from NPR News.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency.
The Stafford Act allows presidents to declare major disasters. The coronavirus crisis is now one of them.
The move frees up to $50 billion to respond to the spread of the virus. Separately, House Democrats and the administration struck a deal on things like sick leave and food assistance.
There are lots of details, so stay with us. We'll give you the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Axios on HBO, the weekly docuseries with news-breaking interviews and insights from Axios journalists covering politics, business, technology, and more. Tune in Sundays at 6 p.m. and catch up on streaming only on HBO. Support also comes from BetterHelp, online counseling by licensed professional counselors specializing in issues including depression, stress, and anxiety. Visit BetterHelp.com/upfirst to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
After weeks of what has been described as a slow, muddled response to a growing public health threat, President Trump has declared a national emergency. That declaration will get federal funds and medical care to places that need it.
Experts are warning that the coronavirus will sicken many more Americans. At the White House yesterday, President Trump once again said that government will be able to control the outbreak.
And this will pass. This will pass through, and we're going to be even stronger for it. We've learned a lot.
Despite a statement, doctors have said, however, that the worst is yet to come. NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez is with us this morning. Hi, Franco.
Hello.
So President Trump spoke for more than an hour yesterday in the Rose Garden. What was his message?
His message is basically that we're starting a new chapter of the fight. The emergency declaration would open up access to $50 billion for states and cities to fight the virus. Trump says doctors and hospitals will have more resources and flexibility to respond, and he says they're working with the private sector to make testing easier.
Trump has been roundly criticized for not getting tested himself because he was apparently exposed through the president of Brazil, an aide to the president of Brazil who has tested positive, and not organizing more widespread testing. What did he say about that?
Yeah, that's been a big interest. Trump had dinner with the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, last weekend, and an aide to Bolsonaro later tested positive for the virus. I should be clear that Bolsonaro himself announced yesterday that he was fine. He had tested negative, but Trump has been saying he didn't need to be tested, and he said something different a little bit yesterday.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't going to be tested.
Are you going to be?
Most likely, yeah. Most
when
likely.
Do you think
not for that
happen?
Reason, but because I think I will do it anyway.
Will you let us
fairly
know the
soon.
Results?
We're working on that. We're working out a schedule.
I should note that the president's doctor, Sean Conley, afterwards issued a statement saying the president's interactions were low per CDC guidelines and that a home quarantine is not necessary at this time.
Americans are really starting, though, to feel some major disruptions in their lives, school, work events, canceled. Is the president's messaging on coronavirus changing as well as we feel that?
Yes and no. After weeks of downplaying the threat, this is very significant to declare a national emergency. But as you noted, a lot has changed in just the last few days. Sports leagues are suspending their season, schools are closing, and Trump has been under a lot of pressure from hospitals, doctors, and even some Democrats to do this. But as we heard in that clip, even yesterday, he was trying to paint a rosy picture about when this will actually be over.
The Department of Defense has also issued domestic travel restrictions for the military, DOD civilians, and their families. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the Pentagon last night said it was banning all domestic travel for service members, civilian personnel, and their families through the beginning of May, May 11th. There are some exceptions, but this really shows how far the government is going to protect the U.S. military.
Over on Capitol Hill, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's reached a deal with the White House on a relief bill. What can people expect to start seeing in the form of help that they need?
Yeah, that bill includes 2 weeks of paid sick leave, nutrition assistance, and financial help for states with Medicaid. Trump says he'll sign it. As for the emergency declaration, the president can act quickly, but states do need to request the assistance. The president is encouraging governors to do so quickly.
That's NPR's Franco Ordóñez. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And remember to check out the NPR Politics podcast for the latest in-depth political news. Drive-up tests, a faster pace for getting those tests evaluated.
Those are some of the moves announced by the White House to help Americans know about their exposure to coronavirus and to help doctors, hospitals, and nursing homes care for them.
NPR health correspondent Rob Stein joins us now with some details. Good morning.
Good morning.
And over the last couple of weeks, Rob, the administration got a ton of criticism for there not being enough test kits available. Now there's lots of focus on testing. Tell us more about the fixes they've announced.
Yeah, so the administration says it's planning to provide free drive-through coronavirus testing around the country. Target, Walgreens, Walmart, and CVS are providing space in their parking lots for the testing. The plan is for people to be able to drive up, get swabbed by health workers, and get results in 24 hours. And officials say a website will help people determine whether they should get tested and where. Here's how Vice President Mike Pence described it.
You can go to the website, as the president said. You type in your symptoms and be given direction whether or not a test is indicated. And then at the same website, you'll be directed to one of these incredible companies that are going to give a little bit of their parking lot so that people can come by and do a drive-by test.
Now, the locations are supposed to be announced as soon as Sunday night, but I should mention that there are a lot of questions about this. You know, who would staff these testing sites? And officials said the website is being created by Google, but another division of Google's parent company says it's only in the early stages of creating a much more limited site.
Okay, so not fully baked rollout that we're talking about here. Did they announce anything else about that testing?
Yeah, so they also announced several other steps aimed at making testing more available. For example, the Food and Drug Administration has approved two new tests, including a high-volume automated test designed to quickly test many samples a day and produce results within hours instead of days.
The administration says it's also helping doctors and hospitals care for people. In exactly what ways?
So the administration ordered hospitals to activate their emergency preparedness plans and is relaxing federal rules to give hospitals and doctors more flexibility to do things like, you know, make it easier for doctors to provide care to patients remotely through telemedicine and to help hospitals make sure they have enough beds and staff available to handle a big increase in patients if that becomes necessary. They also took steps to protect nursing homes, including barring most visitors. As we've seen with a large number of deaths at a nursing facility outside Seattle, nursing home residents are among the most vulnerable. Here's how Seema Verma of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services explained the decision.
We fully appreciate that this measure represents a severe trial for residents of nursing homes and those who love them. But we are doing what we must to protect our vulnerable elderly.
Rob, how helpful do you think all these new measures will prove to be?
You know, if this really happens quickly and more people do get tested, it would help. You know, without a lot of testing, the public health response is essentially flying blind. And beefing up the healthcare system is really crucial. So public health experts would welcome all this. They just wish the administration had done this sort of thing weeks ago when the country had a better chance of getting ahead of the virus. And none of this, unfortunately, is going to avoid the need for the massive shutdowns that we're seeing right now, which are really trying to slow the spread of the virus to keep the health system from getting overwhelmed and be able to save lives.
NPR health correspondent Rob Stein, thanks very much.
You bet.
And for more news and advice on COVID-19 and the coronavirus that causes it, check out npr.org and cdc.gov.
The latest international travel ban went into effect last night. It's for 30 days, and it affects Europe.
Visitors are no longer able to fly into the U.S. from the 26 European countries in the Schengen zone. That's a free travel area including countries like Germany, France, Italy, and Spain, but not the UK and Ireland.
Exempted from this ban, U.S. citizens, their spouses, and most legal residents, although all travelers would face what the president called special screening.
NPR's Eleanor Beardsley is at one of Europe's busiest airline hubs, Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, and she joins us now. Hi.
Bonjour, ladies.
Bonjour. What is happening at the airport this morning? Is there confusion? Is it busy?
No, there's no confusion, but it's not a normal busy day either. It's very empty compared to what it usually is here. But the Americans are here to fly home, many of them, and they're very calm. And I spoke to 20-year-old Emma Shaw from Ithaca, New York. She says she's very sad that her study abroad is ending 3 months early, but she's dealing with it, though it's been a bit chaotic. Here's what she told me.
You're like living by the hour, like by the minute. We'd get email updates like every half an hour, and I don't think I'm going to be safer at home. I feel very safe here. Like, that French healthcare system is, like, pretty good. I think the airport's the worst place you could be right now.
Were the people you spoke to clear about the new rules? Had they heard from the airlines or from the U.S. Embassy?
Everyone here was very clear about it, and I spoke to a French travel agent who was dropping off a group and seemed very relieved to get them on their plane, and she knew all about it. But I spoke to a friend of mine flying home today. He said he could not get in touch with Delta. He didn't know what was going on. He finally reached them by Twitter, and if you go on social media, you see there's a lot of confusion and chaos. People complaining, you know, all the airlines have said they're going to waive their change fees, but people now want refunds, and there's, you know, people talking about sites crashing, no one answering phones. And there are also a lot of stories of Americans paying a lot more for their tickets. Emma Shaw says her father paid about $400 more for her ticket.
President Trump announced this ban Wednesday night. How has it been received more widely in Europe, and do experts there think that it's reasonable?
Well, you know, Europeans were caught off guard, and there was anger. The EU issued a terse response saying that, you know, you can't fight a global epidemic with a unilateral closing of borders like that. It's seen here as sort of a political gesture by a president who handled it poorly, sort of poo-pooed the seriousness of it, and now wants to blame foreigners. And the disease, you know, the virus is already in the U.S. and spreading on its own.
The administration, though, has justified the ban by pointing out Europe has the most new infections of anywhere. Is that now true?
You know, Lulu, that is true. The World Health Organization says that Europe is now the epicenter of the crisis. And if you look at the top seven countries, you know, China's number one, Italy number two, Iran, then South Korea. But five, six, and seven are Spain, Germany, and France, of course, with the U.S. in eighth place. And, you know, the World Health Organization said there are now more new cases daily in Europe than there ever were in China when it was at its peak. So that is a bit worrisome. This being said, the picture varies widely between countries. You know, in Eastern Europe, there are not very many cases, or in Scandinavia, but Denmark and the Czech Republic have also closed their borders.
That's NPR's Eleanor Beardsley at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. Thank you very much, Eleanor.
You're welcome.
And that's Up First for Saturday, March 14th. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Up First is back Monday with news to start your week. In the meantime, follow us on social media. We're at Up First on Twitter.
And tune into your local public radio station for Weekend Edition.
Saturday and Sunday. Find your NPR station at stations.npr.org.
Change is hard, transitions can be even harder, but they're also an opportunity to explore and discover and reimagine things you thought you knew. I'm Anoush Zamarodi, the new host of NPR's TED Radio Hour, and with all this in mind, we've decided to make my entire first episode about reinvention. Subscribe or listen right now.